Welcome to the Betty's Podcast. I'm Alexis.
And I'm Mary. You might be a Betty if you prefer real talk to small talk. Appreciate lots of pop culture references and occasional outbursts of song.
Enjoy deep and sometimes hilarious conversations with your girlfriends and are seeking to improve your connections with family, friends, God, and especially yourself.
In this podcast, we drop 1 to 2 episodes per week where we'll talk about relationships, physical and mental health, and our attempts to balance it all as busy moms in midlife. We'll also talk to some incredible guests along the way.
We want to help you build confidence in your own journey and to bring you into our circle of friendship. Jump into the hot tub with us and let's get ready for a good girlfriend chat. Welcome to the Betty's Podcast. Good morning, Mary. How are you doing?
Okay, what are you laughing at over there, Lexi?
Well, I opened my phone to some notes and it went to my last notes that I was that I had open. Uh-huh. And it was kid quotes.
Oh, yes.
And one of them I was like, oh, I totally forgot. It was like things I did not imagine saying to my kids.
Yep.
And it was Asher yesterday talking about, imagine lighting a firework underneath your crotch.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, wouldn't that be funny? And I was like, Asher.
No.
And he didn't get it. And then I was like, Asher, you'll blow your nutsack off. And then I was stopped and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. Did I really? I want grandbabies one day.
Oh, man.
Things you don't imagine having to explain to your children or, I have to speak his language. He's not going to understand testicles. So
blow off your nutsack.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like you had a much more exciting Independence Day than I did. Yeah. Mine was kind of a dud. I'm not going to lie. We kind of didn't do anything. And part of that is because I had to work, but...
So you didn't do anything exciting. Why not?
Well, mostly because I had to work.
Because you're adulting, that's why.
Yeah. But also because Alan's family just doesn't really celebrate anything. And that's fine. It's just never been a priority for them. They just do their thing, same thing every day, and they're fine with it. And that is not how my family goes. That's not how I grew up. We have kind of a rhythm of the year. We celebrate different seasons and different activities and stuff. But my career's kind of thrown a wrench in that because I have to be on call, because I have to work crappy shifts and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I have not participated in as many holidays as I would like to. And this year's been weird with 4th of July and stuff too. We weren't invited anywhere, which is fine. I don't have to be invited somewhere to celebrate a holiday, but
right. It's
nice when you have plans and have somewhere to go and stuff, but no one really did this year. 4th of July is on a Tuesday, and it was kind of weird. Either you make it a long weekend.
It was really weird. Yeah.
It was weird. You kind of make it a long weekend or whatever, but I had to work the long weekend. And anyway, it was weird.
Yeah, no, I felt really thrown off. I hate when 4th of July is in the middle of the week. I hate it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm just lavishly living and just
take the whole week off. Can't really do that. So
I know. Why you gotta be so responsible?
I know.
Maybe the hippie life isn't that bad.
Maybe not. Maybe
we're traveling gypsies.
Buy a van, go live down by the river.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say yes. I say yes.
Sometimes it does not sound like a bad idea. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I totally would love to run away if I didn't have 6 kids making me responsible.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so that's one thing that has been a hard thing throughout my marriage is trying to figure out what we do with holidays and birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations and stuff is because I want to celebrate those things. I think it's important. I think we need to mark these times of the year and these passages. And I don't know. It's something that I like to do and that I like to be involved with. But Alan doesn't care. Benji doesn't care. Or if he does care, he can't express it. And if anything does happen, it's up to me. And I don't always want to be the one planning and executing and saying, okay, we're doing this and we're going here and we're doing this, especially when Alan is not very social and Benji doesn't care.
Yeah, it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, and he can get overwhelmed in big situations too. Like, I would love to go watch fireworks and stuff, but you usually have to go someplace where there's a lot of people. And that can be a little too much. And Alan would not want to participate in that at all. So what do you do? Do you invite yourself somewhere? Do you just go by yourself? It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've been thinking about is the concept of belonging and feeling like you belong within your family, within your home, within, you know, whatever group that you want to feel like you are a part of.
Yeah.
And for several years, I didn't really feel like I did belong in my home. And part of that, well, you know, our relationship has had a lot of ups and downs. But for several years, Alan's mom lived with us. And I love my mother-in-law. I know a lot of people can't say that, but I love her. She's great.
Yours is like a magical unicorn. She's so sweet.
Yeah, she's great. And she's not like super lovey-dovey and stuff.
No, but she's so
very charitable, helpful and practical and charitable. And hey, can you watch Benji? Oh, sure. No problem. Hey, and can you make dinner? Oh, yeah, of course. She like made dinner almost every single night. And there were a lot of good things about having Tolleen live with us. And in a lot of ways, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed not cooking. I'm like, I will wash the dishes every day if I don't have to cook the meals. But
yes,
there was a price too, because in a lot of ways, it felt like I was superfluous. I didn't have to be there. I wasn't needed. Tolleen had everything taken care of. Alan didn't really care. Benji didn't really care. I mean, it was just like, okay, well, then I'm just going to go do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I was kind of...
You've been really good at that.
Doing my own thing has always kind of been my way of coping with not feeling like I belong. I'm like, oh, I don't need anyone, so I'll just go do my own thing. Or I will go to a concert because I want to go and I, you know, have a friend I'll meet up with, or I'm going to go out to lunch with a friend, or, you know, just anything to escape being at home because I didn't want to be home because I didn't feel like I belonged there.
Mm.
And it even got to the point where I fell in love with a coworker. This is something that, like, I was excited to go to work to see this coworker because I just, and so I'd pick up extra shifts. I just wanted to get out of my house as much as I could because I didn't feel like I belonged there. But there were people at work who appreciated me and liked me for different reasons, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't healthy. I'm calling it my escapist era. So there were a lot of things that I was doing just to get away from reality. And I think there were some good things about it. Like, being able to do my own thing is great. That's one thing that I've always appreciated about Alan, is he doesn't like force me to do anything that I don't want to do. You know, he doesn't say, oh, you need to be here at this time, you need to do this. He really just kind of lets me do my own thing. I just kind of tell him, okay, I'm going to France. He's like, okay. You know, there are a lot of good things about having this kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But there's also the flip side of that too, is like, oh, you don't care if I'm gone for 2 weeks. I mean, he did care, but he didn't tell me not to go either. He's just like, okay, well, just make sure all this is taken care of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I did have to like arrange a lot of things and get people to give Benji rides and do a lot of, you know, different things in order to work, but he didn't stop me. Maybe it was a whole, I want you to want to be with me, but he's not a good traveler either. I mean, it's there are a lot of interesting things about reasons why we belong together and reasons why we kind of struggle too.
Which I think is in every relationship too, you know?
Yeah. So I started trying to figure out what it means to belong to yourself. And I've heard that term from Brené Brown before. And we love her, Brené Brown.
Yes.
I know that Jane doesn't love her, but I do. And I love Jane, but I also love Brené.
She's everyone's cup of tea.
She's not. But she's got some really, really interesting and good research and quotes and stuff about belonging and fitting in. And so belonging to yourself, this is one thing that she says about it, is we have to belong to ourselves as much as we need to belong to others. Any belonging that asks us to betray ourselves is not true belonging. So belonging is a need. It is on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, there's the physiological stuff like safety, shelter, food, that kind of stuff. And just above that, above physiological and then safety, is love and belonging. It's under esteem and self-actualization, but it is something that people need. And another quote, she says, in the absence of love and belonging, there is always suffering. So if we feel like we don't belong, especially in our homes and to ourselves, then there's always suffering. We're not going to feel at home. We're not going to feel like we want to be there with those people.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. I feel like the need to belong to yourself is something that we don't focus on enough. We keep putting our belonging in like everything else and outside compartments. Mm-hmm. And hopes that that will like cure the need to belong. But mm-hmm. if you can't belong to yourself, you're never going to find that place that you do belong.
Yeah. And I think for me, one of the greatest examples of belonging to yourself is Benji, is my child. And yeah, he is on the autism spectrum. And there are a lot of issues and hard things that come with that. But I feel like it's an autism win. It's something that I really admire, is that he doesn't need to belong to anyone or to any particular group. Like, we dragged him to scouts for years, you know, every week for years. And even though he couldn't really participate, we just sit there with him and do a thing because we wanted him to belong to this group. This is what we were supposed to do. He didn't care. It wasn't about him. It was about me wanting him to belong. It didn't matter to him one way or the other.
Right.
And I remember, I've probably talked about this, but one time we were at a scouts meeting and both Alan and I were there and Benji was between us. We came in, we sat down, and Benji just let this long fart. It was so loud and smelly. Oh my gosh. And I was embarrassed, but he didn't care. He didn't care. This kid in front of us like turned around and looked like, oh my gosh, and gave us that look. Like, did he really just do that? But he didn't care.
That is hilarious.
He has no social inhibitions. He has mm-hmm. no desire to do anything other than what makes him happy. And I get that not everyone can be that way. We all have social obligations. We're all social creatures. We can't survive without one another. No man is an island. We all need each other to survive. Benji needs us to provide for him. He does belong to us, but he doesn't care if he belongs to anyone else. Sometimes I even wonder if he cares that he belongs to me. I think I've trained him enough that that when I say I love you, he'll say I love you, mama. Like, he will mm-hmm. he will respond. But he also says that to Alan, to his dad. He'll say, Benji, I love you, and he'll say, I love you, mama. And he's like, no, I'm daddy. Or when my mother-in-law lived with us, we tried to really encourage him to say, thank you, grandma. I love you, grandma, and all that stuff. And still, even though she moved out 3 or 4 years ago, whenever we say, hey, Benji, say thank you, he's like, thank you, grandma, because that's what he was taught to say. Thank you, grandma. So I wonder how much he does actually understand, or how much is just repeating what he's been taught. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't really care about all the social issues that we tend to press upon ourselves mm-hmm. and that become so important in our lives.
Yeah. Well, and belonging is it's a piece that is so structured inside of us. It's how we were designed. You can see it from the earliest days of humanity. Like, we've always had this need to belong to a village, to a family, to communities. And you can see how things get disrupted and broken when there is no belonging. And the belonging really should be established in those early years. You know, 0 to 3 is so monumental for a baby to establish that connection between parents. And that 0 to 3 stage, if you really connect with that baby in those stages, it's going to be emotionally bonded and secure to you. And then as they develop into different stages, there's different needs that get filled and different roles. And then there's independence and all these other things. But belonging, they need to have that root source of where they belong, that they belong no matter what. I mean, obviously, there's going to be certain circumstances that's like, wow, we probably need some boundaries, but you still belong. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I have found with my own life. I still belong, but I've also had to create firm boundaries of what my belonging looks like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes belonging can be, we see each other every day, we're with each other, we do these, we plan these activities, we plan these parties. But belonging can also be, I belong and I love you, but I also need boundaries and I need to create a safe space for myself as well.
Yeah.
And I still belong and you still belong to me. But at this period in time, and maybe it'll be forever, maybe it's just for a short period of time, I have to have a boundary. And that belonging should respect the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you can also see, though, when people don't have, when kids, people don't have that belonging in the place where they should, like home, with their families, places where it was nature's design to belong. Mm-hmm. You can see that's when you see kids start looking outwardly for that belonging, whether it's friends or gangs or whatever it is, they start looking for belonging. And that belonging can be very surface level. Sometimes it can be deep rooted, but a lot of the times friends is very surface when you're a teenager. Yeah. Here's my dog making his grand entrance.
Because he belongs with you.
Because he belongs to me. He knows he belongs to me.
Yeah, belonging is a really interesting concept that I think we all know intellectually and deep down that we need, but we don't necessarily believe that we deserve.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the hardest things to accept, is that you do belong somewhere, because it seems to be dependent on other people. Do they think you belong? Do they want you as part of this group?
Yeah.
And that's really the difference between belonging and fitting in. And I'm reading from Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. It's so beautiful.
It's so lovely.
It's such a great book. But she asked a bunch of eighth graders, so teens and tweens, what are the differences between fitting in and belonging? And some of their answers are just really, takes her breath away. So the one that, I like this one a lot. Belonging is being somewhere where you want to be and they want you. Fitting in is being somewhere where you want to be, but they don't care one way or the other.
Mm.
So if you belong, they want you as you are, and you want to be there. But fitting in is being somewhere where you might want to be, but they don't care, or they think that you need to hit some kind of standard or act a certain way for you to fit in. Another of these definitions from the eighth graders is, belonging is being accepted for you. Fitting in is being accepted for being like everyone else. And another one is, if I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I fit in. If you belong to yourself, if you get to be you, then you can really belong to any group that you decide you want to be a part of. I'm not saying that you should like force yourself into a friend group or a social group. You know, I'm not saying to force yourself in anywhere. Right. But if you're comfortable with yourself, who you are, what you do, where you are in your life, then you don't need to be accepted by others to be okay. You don't need the adoration. You don't need the applause. You don't need the likes. You don't need to be invited to the parties or whatever, because you're okay being yourself, being on your own.
Yeah.
I like what Brené said about belonging to yourself. She said there's kind of three things. It's because we can feel belonging only if we have the courage to share our most authentic selves with people, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. And then talking about belonging to themselves and belonging at home. She says, as a parent, my goal is to help my children believe in and belong to themselves and to know that no matter what, they always belong at home, that we see them and love them for who they are. The pressure to fit in is real and unrelenting, but if we can create that sense of inextricable connection, it's a fierce protector as they navigate belonging. Be here, be you, belong. Mm. So good. I wanted to give three tips for belonging to yourself, belonging at home. And it's the be here, be you, and belong. So the first one is be here. Stop trying to escape, like going to concerts and meeting everyone else's needs and just being so busy that you don't have time to stop and think over planning, over scheduling, you know, overworking.
Yeah. It's so easy to do that.
It really is.
And it's so addicting.
Yeah. And it receives praise. People who are very productive receive a lot of praise. And so
whether it's monetarily or it's through people who are you're working with.
Yeah. But if you find yourself someplace where you aren't sure where you want to be, like home, sometimes be there. You know, you got to stop wishing it away. That's one thing that I had to do. When Tallin decided she was going to move back to California, it was kind of a punch to the gut because I knew that I would have to start stepping up. You know, I was going to have to be there. I was going to have to take care of my child and start doing more cooking and all that stuff that she really handled for the most part. And it was hard. I also knew that I was going to have to talk to Alan a lot more. Because when Tallin was here, I could talk to her a lot and I really enjoyed talking to her and it was great. Alan and I were a little bit different. Tallin and I get along famously. We get along very well, but she always kind of fought a little bit with Alan because he's a stubborn guy and apparently he was a lot like his dad and they got divorced for a reason. You know, like there were a lot of things that were hard for Tallin, especially being reminded of her ex.
Yeah.
And so it was hard because I really enjoyed talking to her and learning from her and eating her meals and not having to think about that. So it was hard, but I had to learn how to be here. And it's been good. It's been hard. It's been work, but it's been good.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is be you. Once you've accepted where you're at, you can accept who you are. Of course, there's always room to improve, but the person you are right now is worthy of love. You're strong, you're capable. And it's something that we have to learn how to do, is to be ourselves and to be okay with it.
Sometimes that's where the real escape is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes being with ourselves is scary and unnerving because it's the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's where you start really coming to your senses of all the big emotional stuff that you've been kind of avoiding. And sometimes that means you need to clean up relationships, means you have to clean up certain habits, whatever it is. And that's why it's so easy to run away from it, because it's hard work to have to clean all that up.
Yeah, sure is. So I've talked a little bit about how there's different roles for people within surgery. And technically, I am a surgical tech. I can be replaced with anyone else who has similar qualifications. You know, it's not like I'm irreplaceable. If I call in sick, someone else will come in, and that's fine. But the fact is that you need someone with similar qualifications, but that person's not going to be me. They're not going to have my strengths and my personality and my conversational abilities, and they're going to do things their way, and it should be fine. You have to trust that when it's part of a business. But in your home, in your family, you are irreplaceable. You can't just get a substitute mom in there. You know, you can get a babysitter, but it's not going to be someone who knows the child and knows the family and knows the needs and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's so true. Even though I am similarly qualified as the other surgical techs, I make my own place. And I make my own environment, and I try to make it as positive an experience as I can for everyone there.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I know some people who go in and just talk about themselves the whole time. And that can be really frustrating if you don't like let other people talk. And anyway, it's just a thing that makes me remember that I may be replaceable in a function, but as an individual, I am not. I am me.
Well, and I feel like even in those settings where you are replaceable, mm-hmm. like work setting, for mm-hmm. instance,
yeah,
I think it's one thing to come to that senses and say, and I think it's good to have that awareness, because then I think that's where you get to say, how am I going to put an edge on myself so that I become someone that is irreplaceable?
Yeah.
Because I am pleasant to work with, or I go above and beyond, and
yeah.
you know, and that's where you learn to flourish in these jobs. And that's why people have loved and surgeons request you, Mary, because you are pleasant and you are really good, you know, because you've put that edge for yourself.
Oh, thanks. I don't know. They request me as much as they need it done on the week or
at the sure. night shift,
and I'm the only one who's there. But
well, I'm just saying.
Well, thanks. But I do. I have noticed that sometimes when I come into the room, especially if I'm replacing someone and the surgeon knows who I am, they'll be like, okay, Mary's here. I know she can handle this. You know?
See, and that's sometimes
when other people come in, it's like, oh, okay.
Right. He's got to play surgical tech too and teach the surge, you know, do all that stuff. So
anyway. All right. The third one, be here, be you, belong. We choose to belong. Our opinions are as valid as anyone else's.
Mm.
And if you put more value on other people's opinions than you do on your own, then that's not being true to yourself.
Yeah.
Being okay with yourself, where you are in life, you know, minimizing comparisons, what you choose to do and what others choose to do, whether or not they live up to the manuals we have for them or if we're living up to the manuals they have for us. But knowing who you are to yourself will help you belong to yourself. So just know that you have your own manual. Everyone else has their own manual. And no one's manual is better than anyone else's. We can't force other people to live the way we think that they should. And they can't force us. And I think that if we do our best to belong to ourselves and to belong in our homes and to belong to the people that we love by loving them and letting them be who they are, I think that's the most important thing. Having boundaries for how they treat you is another really important thing. Because if people are treating you badly, even if it's within your own home, then it is really important to have boundaries.
Yeah. Those boundaries just kind of help protect you belonging to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're being treated badly by people in your home or wherever, mm-hmm. that's you not being true to yourself, because mm-hmm. the true self would say, I don't deserve that.
Yeah. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be whole. You deserve to not live in fear and walk on eggshells around people. You deserve to be okay and to be happy. Not just okay all the time, but to be happy. I mean, and you can't be happy all the time. You know, I've talked about the kind of the rule of thirds. I feel like you can be happy a third of the time, kind of neutral a third of the time, and kind of bad like a third of the time. That's just kind of the spectrum of life. You're not going to be happy 100% of the time. But if you find that you are unhappy 2/3, 3/4, 80, 90% of the time, that's a really, really big red flag. That means that you are not belonging to yourself and not being true to what you mm-hmm. need. So
true. So is that your Better Betty challenge?
Yeah.
Are we still doing Better Betty challenges?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out our new format here.
Yeah.
But our Better Betty challenge is to be here, be you, belong. Mm. Think about a way that you can choose to be here now. I know that I did a lot of escaping, and I still do. After we finish recording today, I'm going out to lunch with a friend. You know, there's a lot of things that I do to escape.
Well, is that escaping or is that being you?
See, and I think it's being.
Yeah.
And I like to go out to lunch because I like to keep connections with people. I really like to talk to them and be in their lives and know what's going on and learn from them and just enjoy being with them. Like, I'm going to go see my friend Lacey, who was a listener of the podcast, and she's just such a great person. Mm-hmm. And I love being able to keep up with her and her family and those kinds of things. And so that is a way that I can belong to myself, is to keep up with my friends.
Yeah. So. And I think sometimes it's easy to tell ourselves, oh, I'm escaping, instead of I'm actually doing what's helping me feel like I belong to myself. Because I think as moms and as women, and probably for men too, but I only speak from a woman's perspective.
Right.
I think it's easy for us to feel guilty when we do those things and tell ourselves, oh, but I'm not doing the belonging part to my family. And we have to belong to ourselves. And that's the way you find it. You know, a lot of us find it through friendships and doing things that fire us up. If it makes you happy and fires you up and it's good and wholesome, then it's probably helping you belong to yourself.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
I love it. I love that Better Betty challenge. And if you love that Better Betty challenge or this episode, let us know or go and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening from. We love the ratings and we love the comments. We do get comments and they make us smile. So we appreciate that feedback. So yeah
we do. Thanks for listening to the Betty's Podcast today. If this episode resonates with you, or if you think it could help someone you know, why not share it with your friends? The more the merrier in this hot tub, baby.
Also, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening. Click on those 5 stars.
And as our dearest Granny Betty used to say, we love you more.
Bye.